Good to see you.
Amen.
I'm glad to be here. Those of you that have been praying for Vernine and I want to thank you and ask you to continue. We need all the help we can get. And you pray for her. She's after 2 major operations and 6 of those steroid shots and several other things, she's hurting about as bad as she did at the very start. So nothing has changed. Now open your Bibles to the book of Colossians. If you have a King James Bible, I want you to read with me. If you don't have a King James, just listen. Because they don't all have the same words, you know. Would you stand and let's take chapter 3 and we'll read. I'll read the first verse, you read the second, and so on, down through verse 17. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God.
Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth.
For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God.
When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory.
Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry.
For which things take wrath of God coming upon the children of disobedience.
In the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them.
But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth.
Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds.
Amen. And have put on a new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him.
Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all.
Put on therefore the heavenly light of God, holy and beloved, thousand mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering.
Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye.
And all of all these things put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness.
And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful.
Let the word of Christ dwell in your spirit in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord.
And whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him.
Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that we have in our hands. We thank you for this day. It's the day the Lord hath made for all of us. And I pray, God, we would be blessed by you and bless you. Touch every heart that's here. Give me a freedom and ease to speak that only you can give and have your way in our lives. I ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Be seated. Recently, an old friend of mine was buried, and he had a request for a casual funeral. And it was interesting. I loved it. Praise the Lord. And it's not the only one I've ever been to. I've been to some others, but it's an interesting idea. And I thought about when I first began to preach in Roswell, New Mexico. I would go out visiting. And I would invite a family, come to church. And many, many times I was told, we can't come, we don't have the right kind of clothes. And that bothered me then. It bothered me then. It still bothers me. I think you ought to be clean. Unless you're coming for work, we'll take you dirty. You understand? You want to come by on a prayer meeting or Sunday night and you've been digging in the mud, come on in. We might take a hose and wash you off outside before we bring you in. But the idea of dressing up for God. This passage here, chapter 3 of Colossians, is the Apostle Paul, and he's teaching the church. And I was a preacher. I've been a preacher 56, 57 years, something like that.
Amen.
And when I first started, you couldn't preach unless you had a coat and tie on. I mean, it would be insulting to the sacred desk to get behind it without a coat and tie on. That's where I was taught. In fact, when I went out on the streets and preached in the streets right here in the Alamo 40 years ago somewhere, with a 75-watt PA system blasting it all the way, Jim Campbell singing, "Have you counted the cost if your soul should be lost?" Wow. And we blasted it. I was out there in a coat and tie in July. I went to Guatemala as a missionary. I was out preaching to Indians who did not have shoes in a coat and tie. And it just came to me, I said, this is absolutely stupid. And I took off the coat and tie. And I've been preaching in my shirt ever since. Now, I had a dear friend, and he asked me to come preach for him in Killeen, Texas. Well, I was already in the habit of preaching like I am right now. And they knew it, of course. But he invited me to speak to them. And when I go out to other places, I don't want to offend them. So I still have coats and ties. And so I dressed up with a coat and tie. And his wife was a dear friend of mine. She loved me. I loved her. But she had the attitude. She didn't like the way I dressed. And so here I am in a sport coat. Pretty nice. And she said, "Brother Lindell, I am so happy that you dressed up for God today." And I said, "Dear sister, I never dress up for God. I dressed up for you." Now, I want you to think a minute. There are churches all over this town right now, and they're good people. Saved people, preach the gospel, got good doctrine and whatever. But they believe you're insulting God to come in shirt and tie. Casual dress. And in fact, they have ties they will give you. And sometimes they will hold you out at the door and put a coat on you and a tie around your neck for you to come in to hear the gospel. See, that doesn't make any sense to me at all. What did Jesus say about the guy that was praying so he could be heard in public? Hypocrisy. It's not what your clothes are that makes you acceptable to God, except within reasonable boundaries. I've had some women come in here that it was pretty hard to preach with them sitting on the front row showing me their shorts, their panties. You ought to put some cover on. I don't care if it's fancy cover. Now, do you think God is more impressed if you wear a $400 suit or a $20 one you got from Goodwill? Which way do you think God's more impressed? Or what about if you have a suit like Coach Jackson in basketball that costs $7,000 that you wear at your games? Can you imagine? I can't even imagine a $7,000 suit without diamonds studded throughout it somewhere. It'd be like going up to Washington, D.C. with some of these characters and get a $400 haircut. This is free. Is God impressed by your dress? A lot of people think so. What about Easter Sunday? All over this town on Easter Sunday, people are going to be showing off their nicest dresses and their nicest suits and whatever. I think that people have got a wrong attitude about what impresses God. That's what I think. I think God's looking on the inside, and that's exactly what this chapter is about. It tells you what God is interested in. So I want you to know how to dress up for God. And I make a few points. First of all, he says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth.
Amen.
God's not impressed with your clothes. I don't believe any of you could dress up well enough for God to say, wow.
Amen.
Now, you might make me say, wow. Or I might make you say, wow. But God's not impressed with what kind of tailor you have or whether you buy them at Walmart. It doesn't matter. Or if you get them at Goodwill. I know a doctor, an old doctor. He's got more money than Carter's got liver pills. He was telling me the other day, he was showing me shoes that I got these in Goodwill. He said, they're an expensive pair of shoes, and they're really good, and I didn't pay but a few dollars for them, you know. God's not impressed about your clothes. God's not impressed about what kind of tie you wear or how much it costs. We impress each other, but all of that brings in a lot of hypocrisy. We're looking for what people want to think of us rather than what God's thinking of us. And bless your heart, if you're in here this room and you're saved, you're a child of God, you really ought to be thinking about what God
Amen.
Thinks of you.
Amen.
And if you're not saved, you really, really ought to be thinking about what God thinks of you.
Amen.
How do you dress up for God? Well, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. It says in verse 5, mortify, that's kill, your members which are upon the earth. Now, what are your members which are upon the earth that God wants killed? Well, fornication. Fornication. Now, let me tell you, fornication is just not two people sleeping together that aren't married. Fornication is a great big word.
Amen.
And all sorts of sexual sins fall underneath
Amen.
That. A lot of this nudity, a lot of this pornography, a lot of this words and language that they use in movies and in people's cultures, it's fornication.
Amen.
And so he talks about that. He said, kill it. Kill it.
Amen.
Uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and that's just evil sexual lust.
Amen.
And covetousness, which is idolatry. He said, for this sake, the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience. And you all walk there. But notice what he said in verse 8. I just really like the phrasing of it. Put off.
Amen.
Put off. Let me ask you something. I change clothes all the time. I bet you do too. I got a washing machine. I dump them. My wife used to do that, but I'm having to be a whole lot of this stuff now, you know. Because she's hurting. She really is hurting. But what do? You put off your old clothes. I remember one year I was working in the summertime right out here on a creek on Bandera Road, not too far from the church. And I was digging a 48-inch tunnel for about 220 feet. And when I came home, my wife would take me in the backyard, turn the hose on, and wash me down. I was covered with mud from top to bottom. And she'd just take the hose and wash me off. And then I would go into my garage and take my clothes off and then go take a shower. And then have a prayer meeting that night. That's when we started this church years and years and years ago. You got to put off.
Amen.
You want to dress up? You want to dress up? You got to put off first. You put off before you put on. You put off and you get cleaned up and then you put on the new clothes.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Well, what did he tell you to put off? This is God talking. This is the Apostle Paul talking to you and letting you know what you ought to be doing. He says, put off also these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth.
Amen.
Lie not one to another. Seeing you put off. Put off. Good words. The old man with his deeds.
Amen.
We bought a movie a couple of weeks ago. We started watching it, and the language was very, very filthy. I didn't expect it from the title, but the language was very, very filthy. And I thought, well, that'll be their token cuss words or whatever. But he wasn't. I just took the thing and put it in the trash.
Amen.
We've got a lot of filthy talking.
Amen.
And I don't know how that's entertainment. Do you know what? I just saw old Bill Cosby. He's in his 70s. He had an hour and a half, 2 hour session with people. Concert, I guess you'd call it. Not a cuss word. Not even a suggestive word. And funnier than all of them that use all that garbage and crap. And when you hear all that stuff, you put it in your head and it comes out sometimes. You need to put off some things.
Amen.
You need to put off the old man and his deeds. You need to put off that old way of talking and thinking. You need to put off the habits that have dragged you down all of your life.
Amen.
And Christian friend, you've got no excuse. You need to put off the old man.
Amen.
Now there's another simple, I just thought this was so simple. Look at verse 10. Look at these words, put on. I believe he's talking to us about dressing up for God. He said, put on. Verse 10. Put on the new man. What's the new man? It's a man after Christ.
Amen.
It's the man that thinks like Christ. It's the man that walks like Christ and talks like Christ. Put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. There's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision, uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free. Christ is all and in all.
Amen.
You need to put on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You need to put on the new man. Bless your heart, when I got saved, I got changed. Now, I had a lot of religion in my life before I really got saved. But when I got saved, there was a change.
Yes, sir.
My language had to be different. I couldn't talk like I had been talking all of those years. My habits had to be different.
Amen.
You need to put on the new man.
Yes, sir.
You need to try to be a little bit like Jesus. Isn't that what a disciple is? Somebody that follows and is like the leader? Well, if we're disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, shouldn't we be able to see something of Jesus in us? I think so. And I think one of the real problems of the church today is that we have not put on the new man, and many times we're coming into church dressed up in great fancy suits and ties, but still dressed up in the old man. And it may please everybody in the congregation that they got such a beautiful congregation with such nice clothes, and they come so regularly, but it doesn't please God.
All right. Amen.
It does not please God. He says, put on the new man after the image of him that created him. And then he says, put on again. Look at verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercies. Wow. You put off anger. There's too much anger. Even from spiritual people, there's too much anger.
Amen.
In all the homes, there's too much anger. There's not enough patience, brother. Don't know where I... Oh, there you are. You went to the back seat. Back seat Baptist back there. We got too much anger. Too much wrath. Too much fighting in between believers.
Amen.
Too much getting offended over nothing. Do you realize how easily, and if I tell you what, if you would think back to some of your worst fights with your husband or your wife, it were over nothing. You'd be ashamed to explain it to me.
Amen.
Wouldn't you? True. And you're all guilty. You know how I know? I'm guilty. It's amazing how we can let the anger and the wrath in us and our temper ruin our days, maybe ruin somebody else's day.
Amen.
Oh, we could make a lot of things if we'd just have a little bit of mercy. He said, holy and beloved bowels of mercy. How about kindness?
Amen.
Some people are way too impatient with everybody they're around.
Amen.
How about some kindness? I mean, kindness goes a long way. Hey, kindness looks good on you. That's
Amen.
Better than a nice tie.
Amen.
It's better than a fancy mohair sport coat. Kindness. Why don't you put on some kindness? How about humbleness of mind? We are so proud. You know, you can't get really offended if you're not proud. How do you insult a humble man? It's pretty hard. Pretty hard to insult a humble man. A humble man and just let it blow right off of him. Okay, you don't think so much of me today. Big deal. Big deal. I'm the same as I was yesterday, and he knows it. Kindness. Humbleness of mind. Look what it says again here. Meekness. Now, that's not weakness. Moses was the meekest man on the earth, but Moses was not the weakest man on the earth.
Amen.
You know what meekness really is? It's like a trained tiger. That tiger can eat you up in two bites, but he's trained. Moses was a mighty man of war, but the Bible said he was meek above all men on the face of the earth. There needs to be strength in you. You don't have to be a doormat to be run over, but there's enough strength to control yourself and put on the Lord Jesus Christ, have some kindness and meekness, and it says long suffering. You know what that means in the Greek? Suffering a long time. Long suffering. Wow. Would we look good? Hey, if we all came in here dressed up with mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long suffering, and then forbearing one another.
Amen.
When we built the first church, two of my main men, they were there, they worked, they put out everything, and they were really good friends. On the day we opened, they had a fight. Boom! And they're gone. And I got to go try and put them back together, you know, and trying to get them to think straight. It's amazing. It's amazing how little things can tick us off and ruin relationships. We need to forbear one another in the church. Everybody in this church is not going to please you. I'm not always going to please you. Maybe seldom please you. Has nothing to do. God placed us in this church for a witness.
Amen.
He placed us in here to grow.
Amen.
He placed us in here to build soldiers and raise
Amen.
Up preachers and teachers and
Amen.
Send out missionaries and be a testimony in this town
Amen.
To all the strangers and our own families.
Amen.
You don't have the right to get your temper up.
Amen.
Nothing but pride. If you were humble, if you were really humble, you're not going to get flying off in just any little old thing comes up. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. How you say, well, he doesn't deserve to be forgiven or she doesn't deserve to be forgiven. Did you?
Amen.
It says, even as Christ hath forgiven you, did you deserve to be forgiven?
Amen.
I come to the Lord's Supper. I do it every week. And I love it.
Amen.
It never gets old to me. I'm sorry. Some of you may think it gets old, but it never gets old for me. Because I look at that and I say, He paid it all.
Thank you, Lord.
I didn't pay it. I didn't deserve it. Why in the world me among my friends, me among my acquaintances, how did I get saved? How did I get called to preach? But He did.
Thank you, Lord.
But He did.
Thank you, Lord.
We need to be forbearing with one another. Get over your temper. Put off the old man. Put off the anger. Put off the malice. Put off the pride. Put off the stupidness of thinking you're really that important.
Amen.
So somebody slights you. What's that going to have to do? Is that going to really cause you any trouble in life? Probably not. So somebody forgets to shake your hand sometime. So somebody says the wrong word one time. Have you ever said one?
Yeah.
Well, Christ forgave you, didn't He?
Thank you, Lord.
You think maybe if Christ could forgive you, you could forgive your brother?
Amen.
You could forgive your friend? You could forgive a stranger?
Amen.
You could forgive somebody that maybe doesn't understand as much as you. Put on the new man. You ought to dress up for God. Put on the new man. The new man that's made after Christ. It's what He's telling you. He tells you to put off these things, put on these things. And then He says in verse 14, and above all. Isn't this a simple chapter? Isn't that beautiful? I've just been reading it over and over and over again, fascinated by it. Above all these things. Now, man, He's listed some fine things. He's listed some important things. Above all these things, verse 14, put on charity. Love. If we make it to March 19th, Bernie and I will be married 59 years. Wow. Ain't that something? That's something. 59 years. You know how we did that? We put on charity. You think she's, oh, this sweet woman that never says the wrong word. Yeah, I know you do. Yeah. Basically, mostly she is, except with me. I'm her husband. She thinks she has a right to pick on me. Let me tell you what. Don't criticize any of my sermons or doctrine to her. She'll eat your lunch. But she feels she has the right to criticize my doctrines and my sermons. Now, you shouldn't have said that way. And oh, bless her heart, when I got saved and I started reading my Bible and I was just growing by leaps and bounds, and she was a Christian already, but she didn't know a whole lot. Boy, she raced to catch up. And then she'd argue with me. Boy, we argued. All the things written on that wall out there, we argued over every paragraph. How it should be said, what words we should use. How about putting on a little bit of love? Put on a little bit of love. Bible says love will cover a multitude of sins.
Amen.
Put on love. What about Christ? What do you know about Christ? He loves.
Thank you, Lord.
Put on love. Walk into the church with love.
Amen.
Walk out of the church with love.
Amen.
Go to your Thanksgiving dinner with love.
Amen.
And I don't care if it's your most obnoxious brother or your stepfather that you don't like, put on love. Why? Because you belong to Christ.
Thank you, Lord.
How do you dress up for God? Put off the old man, put on the new man.
Amen.
Has nothing to do with the clothes that you wear except that they be modest. That's the only thing. Don't be showing your flesh. I don't care if you're ugly as homemade soap. It causes lust. It causes sin. And you don't need to be a part of that. You need to stand against it and be on the other side of that thing. You should dress so that there's no reproach. I tell you what, I saw ads on television. If you bought one suit, they'd give you three more free. Man, those are expensive suits. You need to go get you several. No, you don't need to dress up in it. Just what's comfortable and what's appropriate and what does not cause offense. It doesn't matter how much it costs. Make it convenient. Make it like my wife used to do before I could get in the house when I was working for my friend, digging a tunnel. Wash it off in the yard. Put that dirt outside of your house. Get into the garage and get into some dry clothes and go get a good shower and dress up in something nice. God's not interested in your clothes other than modesty, other than your pride. God's interested in your heart.
Amen.
He's interested in your soul.
Amen.
The way you act.
Amen.
Above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Amen. Now, we had put off and we had put on. Look at the little word in verse 15. Let. Allow. Permit. Receive. Let. What do we let? Let the peace of God rule in your heart.
Amen.
And be thankful.
Amen.
Would it make a difference this week? If you let God's peace rule your heart. Oh, I think it'd make a lot of difference. In all of us. In the best of us. I think it'd make a lot of difference. Let God's peace rule. Rule. What's ruling? Peace. Peace. Keep your mouth shut. Let peace rule. Get rid of that anger, that malice. Get rid of that pride, that stupidity. Get rid of that old man.
Amen.
And let the peace of God be what rules your heart. Boy,
Amen.
You'd be a different person this week.
Amen.
People would say, what happened to you? Your wife might say, what happened to you? Your husband might say, wow, there's been a change in this house since I was here. Let the peace of God rule. All you got to do is let it. It's you. You got to give it permission. You know who rules you? You do.
Amen. Amen.
And you know what that is? That's the old man.
Yeah.
You need to make a decision to let Christ rule. You need to make a decision. My life needs to change.
Amen.
And how about having peace in your heart? People would notice the difference. People you work with, people you hang around with during the week, they'd notice the difference. If peace ruled your mind, if peace, God's peace ruled your heart, that would bring tremendous changes. You realize? Put on the new man. Then verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Wow. I know you're too busy to let the Word of Christ rule in you richly, aren't you? You're too busy. Got too much work to do? You watch too much television? You read too many worldly books? You know what you could do? Now, if you've already got most of it memorized, you've read it so many times, okay, I can understand you can slack off a little bit. But most of us aren't in that situation. You say, well, I didn't understand it when I read it. Man, there's some things I didn't get till 20 times. Man was talking about patience this morning. I was a school teacher for 20 years. I think you got to repeat it 30 times for them to get it once. And that's average kids. What about you? You're dumber than the average kid. Let the Word of Christ, if it dwelled in you richly, do you think it just might pop up every once in a while?
Right.
If you just put it into your head, if you put it into your heart, do you think it just might pop just at the time it's needed? It will.
Amen.
Amen.
A verse you couldn't call to mind right now will pop into your head just when you need it. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Hey, let the peace of God rule. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Look at verse 17. This verse literally changed my life and my ministry.
Amen.
Whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him.
Amen.
Whatever you do. Everything about you, since you became a Christian, is Christ. All of the other stuff is just a mess and a problem. And trouble. You need to let Him rule in your heart.
Amen.
You need to get up in the morning and pray, oh God, why don't you take over today?
Amen.
Why don't you take over my emotions today? Why don't you take over my anger today? Lord, why don't you take over my pride today? Why don't you rule in my heart by peace and the Word of God in you richly? Wow. Think I'd make a change? Think that'll make a change? Oh, it would. It would. I don't think there's a one of us in this room. I read this chapter over and over and over again during these last months. Just over and over and over again. I want to dress up for God. I want to take the old man off and put the new man on. I want to have His peace rule in my heart and in my mind. Take away all of my troubles. Just let His peace rule. And I want the Word of God in me so richly, it'll come up bubbling on its own for the rest of my life. I'll know the verse that I hadn't thought about. Christian friend, you began a life of repentance. You began a life of repentance the day you got saved. It's still going.
Amen. Amen.
What do you need for revival? You need repentance.
Amen.
You may be in here and you say, well, you've been preaching to all those Christians, but I'm not one yet. Well, let me tell you something. You ought to be. You waited long enough. You don't know that you got a tomorrow. I have my own relatives that died at 49, 50, 53. I knew an 18-year-old. Had him a new motorcycle. One of our members went to visit the family and got a chance to witness to this young man. He was 18. He did his best to get him to come to Christ. And the boy said, no, I'm going to sow my wild oats as long as I can. Rode his motorcycle out and hit an 18-wheeler. Killed him. You don't know what time is going to come for you. In my life in the service, I handled fuels of all kinds, refueled planes. I loved the job. Oil, fuel, whatever. I've seen plenty of spills. I had a friend that's 21 years old. He died. Exploded. If I'd have filled that tank, I'd have probably done it the same way he did it, and it probably exploded on me. But I didn't. He did. You don't know what tomorrow holds. You may not have another day. You might not even have tonight to have the opportunity to come back. God has determined our days. Actually, I never thought I'd reach 60. Diabetes and heart trouble and stuff like that. I'm 77. I'm still around. I don't know when I'm going to die, and you don't know when you're going to die. And you think, old man, you're going to be in the grave before me. Maybe not. Just maybe not. You might be like that little 9-year-old girl on her way to school, and some idiot drunk runs over you and kills you. He won't even know he did it. And he'll be so limber, he'll just wallow around and not even get hurt. You don't know. I've been preaching the gospel now ever since I got saved. You need to be saved. If you're here and you know you have not made things right with God yet, let me tell you something. Jesus paid your debt. You can never pay it. I know you may think, well, I'm going to be on my own and I'm going to stand up before God and I'm going to tell Him my excuses. No, you won't. When you see God, you just fall down like you're dead.
Amen.
He's so great and so big. Good night. Yes. I'm going to fall down like I'm dead.
Yes.
You need to get saved. And you need to get saved today. You need to recognize all that old man is a life of sin. It's selfish. The old man is completely selfish. You can never make the old man live for God. That's why you can't turn over a new leaf. You can never make the old man please God. He will never accept it. You can never change it enough where God would approve of it. That's the reason why this do-good church type thing, and I want you to do good, but it doesn't save you. There's only one that can save you, and that's Jesus Christ. The love of God sent him to the cross of Calvary, and he laid my sins on him. My sins from the past in my life and my sins from the future, and he did it 2,000 years
Thank
ago.
You, Lord.
And he did yours. You need to be saved. You need to simply say, God, I recognize my old man is sinful. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord, will you forgive me? I'll take Jesus as my Savior and my Lord. Lord, forgive me.
Yes.
He will. He did me. There are a lot of other people in this room who say, yeah, I remember
Amen.
The day.
Amen.
You need to get saved. You need to get saved today. He said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Will you call on Him? Will you call on Him? Let's sing Just As I Am. I think it's 246. 249.